So let's finish by talking about ET, and you have a patient here. I mean, you can talk about her.
This is a 45-year-old lady who really had no medical history until 2008 when she had this kind of persistent headache. And ultimately, it turned out to be a left retinal artery occlusion. She was on birth control pills at the time, and they thought, well, it might be these oral contraceptive pills, although it's unclear because she'd only been on it for a few days when she had this clot. And then she went through this very intense workup looking at all the different vasculature of her brain, and they did notice a few other clots along the way there. She really had no other past medical history that was relevant at the time, but once I saw her a little bit later on, we kind of dug back. She did have some issues with placental insufficiency with the birth of one of her children. So you wonder if she wasn't having blood clots with the placental insufficiency, and maybe it was due to the ET that we diagnosed later on. So with the persistent headaches and the thrombosis in her vasculature of her brain, particularly the venous side of her brain, she kind of got passed around a little bit. She started on anticoagulation, and then she was referred to a hematologist for a hypercoagulable workup. They said, well, gee, I'm kind of worried about essential thrombocythemia because I see your platelets are a little elevated. In the past, they weren't particularly elevated. They were running about 400, 405, 410. So it didn't really trigger anyone's thought to think about this could be ET. But by the time she got to the hematologist for a hypercoagulable workup, they were up about 450 or so. And so JAK2 testing was done, and she was ultimately found to have a JAK2 V617F mutation. And given her kind of high risk, having had blood clots that were suspected to be related to her ET, looking back, it was felt like it was proper to give her some sort of cytoreductive therapy. By the time I saw her, her platelets had drifted up until about the 700 range. So there was a little bit more room to go there. But again, given the fact that she has a JAK2 mutation, particularly a JAK2 V617F mutation, and had a history of thrombosis, by the revised IPSET score, which is the score we used to kind of determine who really needs cytoreduction and who doesn't, she certainly qualified as high enough risk to warrant cytoreduction.